news breaking events happening overnight was that Turkey has put out an arrest warrant for... Go on, your story.
Yeah, I found out about this quite late last night, about 11 o'clock. I saw a headline on the New Arab and then I saw it reported again on the Middle East Monitor. Turkey has applied to Interpol for red notices for arrest warrants to be issued against Benjamin Netanyahu and I understand other Israeli ministers. And this is in relation to the members of the Samud flotilla. You may listeners may recall that the last mission had left from Turkey. And obviously when they came back, you did hear the accounts of all the abuse, torture and sexual assaults are brought against them by the Israeli forces. And you may recall that when they were ejected from Israel, they did return back to Turkey. And it's highly possible that they were examined by medical physicians in Turkey. So that's probably the basis of the arrest warrant application.
Yes, very interesting. APAN breaks down some of the issues that have happened this week, of course. This week in Palestine, a relentless escalation of violence, dispossession and destruction saw Israeli occupation forces alongside settlers carry out more than 467 attacks against Palestinians in the illegally occupied West Bank in just week. Human Rights Watch's new report documents that Israeli settler attacks on Palestinians in the West Bank have displaced 107 communities since January 2023, stating settlers shoot, attack and expel Palestinians from their land and the state provides the weapons, the legal cover and the budget to do it. The Israeli government coming closer to home, the Israeli government announced there will be no criminal investigation into the Israeli drone strike that killed Zomi Frankom, an Australian humanitarian aid worker, and six of her colleagues. Foreign Minister Penny Wong must expel the Israeli ambassador, says APAN. Words of condemnation are not enough. There was some positive news coming out of England around the court cases, the Palestine Action jury discharged in Albert Bristol. You know about this?
Yeah, this has been ongoing for some time. The activists in Palestine Action that did damage to an Albert factory, I believe located in factory in Bristol, they were subject to a whole lot of charges of terrorism. There's a lot of legal debate that perhaps they should have been at least had been charged with causing acts of criminal damage, not terrorism.
And in fact, there was some argy-bargy where the jury came back with this. They did cause damage. And then they were told that they were actually being charged with terrorism, which is an outrage.
It's an outrage. And also in that same case, the barrister defending them was trying to instruct them about their rights as a jury and was admonished by the judge. Hmm. And I understand is also facing legal sanctions, but that's another story. But what's happened here is that the jurors have actually announced that they're not going to announce no convictions for the seven defendants.
Yeah, well, see, as I said, a good piece of news.
That is a good piece of news. It's great news.
There were some interesting things coming. There's always interesting things coming out of America, but this is a positive story. Angie Nixon scores socialist breakthrough in Senate race in Trump's Florida. Do you want to pick that one up?
That's quite an interesting story because the takeaway I took from that was there's still. Obviously, Florida is a very strong Republican stronghold, and this is a race to determine who's going to run as a Democratic candidate. But what's really interesting is that she does come from a Labor background.
And also the amount of money that her campaign had was overshadowed by her main rival, 1-6.
Yeah, 1-6, like her main rival is something like $45 million, I think, and her campaign, I read some accounts said her campaign was about $60,000. And I think this really underscores not so much money, but what the importance of grassroots and campaigning, that that can be really effective to turn the tide. So let's hope that this augurs good news in the upcoming primaries as they go.
Well, there's elements to what's going on in America that really does give you the impression that ordinary Americans are going to have to fight for their country back. The Center for American Progress talks about, gives a pretty interesting précis of America's connection to the war in Iran. 6 months ago, the Trump administration promised swift success when it launched a war with Iran. Instead, the administration dragged the United States into a widening Middle East quagmire with no clear path out, and Iran has emerged as the strategic victor. More than 50,000 US troops remain deployed in the region, 18 service members have been killed, and nearly 500 service members have been injured. And Americans are paying the price at home. The broader cost of the war, including military spending, higher interest rates, the higher prices for gas, groceries and transportation, have topped $1,200 per household. Now the administration is asking Congress for another $73 billion to fund its failed war. That's $73 billion US dollars. And the other part of what the Center for American Progress was sending out in its latest release was something that sends shivers down your spine, or well, my spine anyway. The Trump administration's heavy-handed approach of using the National Guard in combination with other federal law enforcement surges has alienated local communities. No amount of legal intimidation or all-caps social media posts can erase the facts. The Pentagon's recent extension of the controversial deployment in Washington, D.C. through Inauguration Day 2029 proves that Trump sold to the public as a temporary response to a fabricated emergency has now been codified into an open-ended, multi-year federal mobilization in our nation's capital. Creepy stuff.
It's really disturbing.
They're going to have to fight to get their country back.
Yeah, I think we're already seeing signs of that, where it's been going on for months with the local actions against ICE abducting people off the streets.
Yeah, and also weirdly coming out of the US, the US have imposed sanctions on two judges from the International Criminal Court on the grounds, and this is inverted commas, protecting the safety of Americans. Not one American has ever faced charges by the ICC. The USA does not recognise the jurisdiction of the ICC. And I suppose that's kind of is a bedfellow of the news that Americans have now illegally started setting up a drill in Greenland for oil, apparently.
Yeah, well, there probably is a direct connection, but it's just an extension of what I remember some comments that Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, said about 2 weeks ago, that they were going to take action to demolish the ICC. So, look, it's a broader campaign. I mean, I recall...
A lawless international scene.
A lawless international scene, but I've got a long memory, and I recall the background to when the Americans invaded Iraq, and there were discussions then about the jurisdiction of the ICC. So for a long time, the Americans have been against this institution, which is built to try to bring political leaders to account and individuals when they commit gross war crimes, obviously, and breaches against international human law.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's a reflection that people who do these criminal acts on large scale actually don't like people knowing that they're evil people.
Yeah, interesting. That.
It's an interesting concept, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think...
I mean, you'd think that they'd stand by their actions.
Well, I think another aspect, important takeaway is, you know, we're probably all aware that Francesca Albanese has also had sanctions imposed on her. And she has spoken at length about the impact on her personal life. You can't basically function. Most transactions in the world go through US banks. You wouldn't be able to get a credit card, take cash out of the ATM, pay for things by FPOS. In fact, I recall that Francesca Albanese said that she's had to depend upon her adult daughter and husband to help her out in that regard. So
yeah, no,
it's really disturbing. It really is.
It is. There was a really interesting and weird thing. We'll go out with that because we've got today we're the last of the breakfast shows that are going to be focusing on AI specials. Later in the program, in the last half hour, we're going to be highlighting some conversations that were held at a NIB Arena event as a backgrounder, and it's our contribution to Science Week because it's Science Week this week. And, science can be good. Science is good.
Science is good.
Let's
folks.
Wave the flag for science.
Yeah. Rationality.
Rationality.
Scientific method.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we'll talk about my last little story after a couple of local stories, unemployment rising, and ACOS, the Australian Council of Social Service, say that there are better ways of dealing with inflation than sacrificing over 100,000 people to poverty social security payments. You'll find that Kevin's got something to say about that in This Is the Week That Was. The other thing, which is actually a win, more local in Victoria, the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service, BALS, reports that last week Greens member Catherine Copsey successfully passed an amendment to the Corrections Act in the Victorian Parliament, which will see the harmful practice of decanting made illegal. This means that police will no longer be able to transfer someone in their custody from one police station to another, overriding the 14-day legal limit in police cell custody. Who would have thought? Outrageous stuff, isn't it? Look at the fine print.
Yeah, what can you say?
Yeah, what can you say? Insane. The last little story, which I preempted, which is that the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, which comes out of England, names the source of AI generator rapper used by right wing, claiming it is just free speech art project. The two men behind Danny Bones, the AI-generated rapper who has become a prominent voice in Britain's online far right, can be named for the first time. Denver Barber, a music producer and sound engineer from Greater Manchester, and Theo Blackledge, a 3D artist and animator from Liverpool, are the founders of the Node Project, the previously anonymous collective behind Danny Bones. Danny Bones is a white nationalist rapper whose videos show him driving a deportation van through London, railing against Islamification of Britain and asking whether the world is run by Jews or the Master Masons. The videos have clocked up millions of streams, and his head breakout song, This Is England, topped the iTunes hip-hop charts. In May, he appeared on screen at the Unite the Kingdom rally, introduced by Tommy Robinson as an ally in his war of propaganda. But these two little toe rags are going around saying it's just a free speech art installation.
No,
there
it's
you
not.
Go.
It's obviously propaganda.
Yeah, that's right.